Certainly glad that you're here today to study the Bible with us. We're very happy for those that are visiting with us today. My cousins are here today. Glad to see them as well, Michael and Gina, as well as others that might be here. We appreciate you coming and being with us today. We have a number of people with children that are out today, probably 25 or more that are out today that have children. And certainly I know a lot of people are traveling, but I know that some are sick as well. So we need to remember them in our prayers. We've had a couple of members moving right now, the Isabels. They're in their house. Glad to see them back with us. Kane, he's my amen corner over there, so he'll have something to say here in a minute. But glad to see them back. I know Danny and Connie are moving as well today. For Danny and Connie in the directory, maybe we just get a scroll for them. They keep on moving, you know, so we just... But we're certainly glad that you're here this morning. Sometimes a sermon comes out of an event that happens during the week, and this is the situation here this week. I was at the cardiologist the other day. Every 6 months I go to the cardiologist. He gives me a prescription for the next 6 months, and that's about it concerning him. But I had to wait. And for somebody that's battling hypertension, that's the one thing you don't want to do is wait. I had to wait 2.5 hours to see this fella. The lady had told me he had 11 patients that day. I thought, man, I could see 11 patients in 15 minutes. It'd just take me a second to see that many people. But because of various tests that you run on different people, and some have Holter monitors that you got to monitor and things like that, it takes a long time sometimes to see different patients. So during the first 30 minutes or so, maybe 45 minutes, I have my phone with me. It has the Bible on it. So I read Genesis 39, what Gary's going to teach that night. I'd already done my lesson, but I'll just go over it again. So I read it. I don't know how many times you can read Genesis 39 in 45 minutes, but I read Genesis 39 just up and down. I mean, just read it over and over again. So I was ready for the Wednesday night class. Still wasn't called back. Sat there with my phone about 15 more minutes and waited. Still, nobody called me back. So I'm just getting just really aggravated at what's happening here. Them making me wait. So I thought, well, let me do something productive here. So I had a little piece of paper in my pocket. So I got it out. And today, this is the sermon. It came out of that piece of paper. The battle of physical sickness. Seems like it's a universal problem. So one of the first things I want you to see this morning is, why do people get sick? That's one of the first things I wrote down. Why do people get sick? I'm looking around and there's a little old lady next to me there, and she's breathing heavy too, and I'm thinking, well, I hope they take her back before me, because she's bad shape here. But why do people get sick? So I had my phone there, so one of the first places I had to go to was Genesis. And then chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 1 and in verse 31, it says, "And God saw all that he made, and behold, it was very good." It was very good. "And there was the evening, and there was the morning, the sixth day." So I drew a little line out there on my little sheet of paper, saying that's very, very good. First 6 days, very good. I'm looking around at all these people sitting there. All everybody's miserable along with me. And I'm thinking, this isn't very good. So something must have occurred, because this isn't very good. Me sitting here and other people sitting here as well. So we turn over to Genesis chapter 2, and in verse 17, I found on my phone there, Genesis 2, and in verse 17 it says, "But from the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die." So, I put two and two together. Something here isn't very good. That whoever eats of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they will surely die. So, got on my phone again. Go over to Genesis chapter 3. Beginning in verse 19. Genesis 3 and in verse 19. This says, "By the sweat of your face you will eat bread. You shall return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." So we've gone from Genesis 1 to where it says that something is very good. In fact, everything is very good up to this point. And now we're talking about that you are returning to the dust. So something occurred here during this time. Something evidently occurred with Adam and Eve in chapter 3, to where they sinned against the Lord. They ate of that tree of knowledge of good and evil. They partook of its fruit. And therefore now they were going to be spiritually separated from God. And at the same time, they were going to die. This is part of the curse. You're going to return to the dust. Over in 1 Corinthians and then chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and then verses 21 and 22. 1 Corinthians 15 in verse 21, it says, "For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. So as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive." Now I'm not going to bear the guilt of Adam's sin. I'm going to commit my own sin. I'm not going to bear the guilt of Adam's sin. But I am going to bear, and you are going to bear, the consequence of Adam and Eve's sin. Because now, people were going to get sick, and people are going to die. In fact, he says in Hebrews chapter 9 and in verse 27, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. So, I see something else. And that is, believers are not exempt. I looked across, and there's somebody else from another church. Didn't know their name, recognized their face. But hey, they're in the same situation, they're in the same predicament that I'm in. So I draw another conclusion, and that is that believers are not exempt. In Romans and in chapter 8, Romans 8 verses 18 through verse 23, It says in verse 18, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us. For the anxious longing of the creation, it waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God." One day our bodies, they're going to be liberated. One day our bodies are going to be transformed. One day our bodies are going to be resurrected. Then he goes on to say in verse 22, "For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. But not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit." That means the apostles. The apostles. We grow. The Apostle Paul, he's hurting. He's in pain much of the time. The Apostle Peter, as he gets older, he is experiencing different things that are occurring in his life. The Apostle John, he's getting older. He's feeling the pains of life. He says, verse 23 again, "Not only this, but we ourselves have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of the body." Then I thought about this passage. The Apostle Paul, evidently, maybe he himself taking up to the third heaven. He receives a thorn in the flesh in chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians, and in verse 7. It says in verse 7, "Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself." There's a thorn in the flesh. There's a pain. A lot of times we think of thorn, we think it may be a little prick on our finger. But the thorn here carries with it the idea of being impaled. Some serious pain that's going on in the Apostle Paul's body, evidently. In Philippians chapter 2, and in verses 25 through 27, Philippians 2, verses 25 through 27, he says in verse 25, "But I thought it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, our brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is your messenger and minister." And minister to my need. The idea there, messenger, meaning apostle. "Because he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. Indeed, he was sick to the point of death. That God had mercy on him. And not on him only, but also upon me, that I would not have sorrow upon sorrow." Now wait a second. I thought they had spiritual gifts. I thought they had the gifts of healing. I thought they were able to heal basically anybody they wanted to. Well, evidently this isn't the case. There's some people that they either chose not to heal or they could not heal. And we see that Epaphroditus evidently is one of them. that he is sick to the point of death. There's another found over in 2 Timothy and in chapter 4 and in verse 20, another example of this. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 20. It says in 2 Timothy 4 and in verse 20, it says, "And Erastus remained at Corinth, but Trophimus I left sick at Miletus." This is the Apostle Paul talking. He had just talked about, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. But even though he's fought a good fight, even though he's finished the course, even though he has kept the faith, still he is not able to heal Trophimus. Trophimus is sick. There are times that Christians are not going to be exempt from sickness. And we see here two occasions in the Bible to where this occurs. Well, something else I thought when I was sitting there, and that is that Satan's goal. What's his goal for my sickness and your sickness? Whatever it might be over the course of time. One is that we get discouraged. We get discouraged that we get sick. It might be that we lose faith. It might be that we quit the Lord, that we forsake the truth. We see different passages concerning Satan and what occurs in Job and in chapter 2. Job and in chapter 2 and in verse 1 and through verse 10. Job 2 verses 1 through 10. It says, "And again there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, 'Where did you come from?' And Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From roaming about on the earth, walking about on it.' The Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless, upright man, fearing God, turning away from evil.'" Some of your older versions say is chewing evil. The idea is turning away from evil. "He still holds fast his integrity, although you excited me against him to ruin him without cause." He had lost his family. He had lost his commerce. And now he's going to lose his health. It says, "Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Skin for skin. Yes, all that a man has, he will give for his life. However, put forth your hand and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse you to your face.' And the Lord said to Satan, 'Behold, he is in your power, only spare his life.' When Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with," he says, "sore boils," not just boils, but sore boils, "from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he took a potsherd," or just a piece of clay that's been broken, "in order to scrape the sore boils while he's sitting in ashes. And it says, his wife said to him, 'Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die.' And he said to her, 'You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity?' And all this Job did not sin with his lips." Or in Luke and in chapter 13 and in verse 16, Luke chapter 13 and in verse 16, it says concerning this woman, it says, "And this woman, the daughter of Abraham, as she is, whom Satan has bound for 18 long years, should she not have been released from this bond on the Sabbath day?" or back over to the thorn in the flesh passage in chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians. And in verses 7 and 8, we've already read verse 7, we'll read verse 8. It says, concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. He wanted this thorn in the flesh to be removed. He asked the Lord three times, and the answer was no. So maybe we can see some ideas about the goal for Satan with sickness. Well, the flip side of that is, what's God's goal for sickness? First of all, to remind us that this life is temporary. In Ecclesiastes, and in chapter 7, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, and in verse 2 through 4, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verses 2 through 4, it says, it is better to go to a house of mourning than to a house of feasting, because that is the end of every man. The living takes it to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter. And when a face is sad, a heart may be happy. The mind of the wise is in the house of the mourning, while the mind of fools is in the house of pleasure. A house of mourning, it might be a funeral home. It might be a hospital. It might be a hospice unit somewhere. It might be a nursing home. It might be somebody within their home. But the thing that we want you to notice is that these things are temporary. We're not going to be here forever. And certainly we're not going to be in pain forever. There's something else as well, and that is that it humbles us, again back to the thorn in the flesh passage in chapter 12 and in verse 7. He says in chapter 12 and in verse 7, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself. That if this is Paul and he's been taken up to the third heaven, that he's not going to brag about this. He's not going to talk about, I'm the only one that's been up there to see this. But he is going to be humbled as to what has occurred. To learn his laws. I was with Jimmy Shaw years ago, Brother Shaw. He's passed away now. But Jimmy was in the car one time, and we were going along, and he was able to tell me, where each exit was on the Waterston Expressway. I always thought that was amazing, to be blind and to be able to tell you within a reasonable area where you are at that time, even though you're blind. And Jimmy told me this passage one time, just really never forgot it. In verse 67 it says, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. And this was the passage that he told me in verse 71. He said, it is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. He was an excellent Bible student. And he said if he had his eyes, there might have been a possibility that he might not have ever been a good Bible student. In fact, there's a possibility that he never would have met the people that were going to convert him to bring him to the Lord. That he probably would have never been a Christian if he would have had his eyes. But he said again, it is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. Something else? God's goal for sickness? that we remember God. He says in Ecclesiastes and in chapter 12. And in verses 1 through 7, he begins this. He begins this in poetic form to talk about the problems of old age. It says in verse 1, remember also the Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, when you say to them, I have no delight in them. For the sun, the light, the moon, the stars are darkened, the clouds return after the rain. He says in verse 3, the day that the watchmen of the house tremble. Maybe our legs tremble. I'd say it's a good possibility over the next few years that Mr. Jeff over here is going to be a grandpa, probably. But when he gets down on the floor with that little grandchild, he might not have any trouble getting down on the floor, but when that little grandbaby jumps up, Jeff, he might be wavering a little bit now, depending on the age that he is when he has a grandbaby. It's going to be the same with me. I already feel it with Jackson and Ginger, not able to get up as quick as I once was able to. And certainly this is part of the problem of old age, that your legs, they start to shake. The mighty men stoop. The grinding ones stand idle because there are few. Have problems with your teeth. Those that look out the windows, they grow dim. You might have a problem with your eyesight. The doors of the street are shut as the sound of the grinding meal is low. You might have a problem with digestion, things like that. He talks about here, someone will arise at the sound of the bird, and all the daughters of the song will sing softly. I used to go see Doris and Wayne all the time. I'd walk in the door and I'd say, how you doing, Doris? How you doing, Wayne? And they'd say, oh, we was up all night last night. I said, why was you up all night last night? Because we heard some sound. Well, they couldn't hear nothing during the daytime. How in the world are they able to hear at night? But for some reason, they get this tremendous power at night when you're asleep, that you wake up and all of a sudden you start to hear things. And this is part of the problem of just getting older. He said, furthermore, men are afraid of high place and the terrors on the road. Don't like to leave the house after a while. You like to stay at home. You don't like to go on trips like you once did. Well, you ask God for help. You look around with this sickness and you think, well, I just can't deal with this anymore. The doctor's not able to help me. Other people aren't able to help me. And the one that you should have been turning to all the time, especially turning to while you're healthy, he wants you to turn to. Back over again to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And in verses 8 through 10, it says, concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, and certainly that would be when you're physically sick as well. When I am weak, then I am strong. You should turn to the Lord all the time. But when you're sick, why in the world would you not turn to the Lord? It might be an occasion to serve others. We're about out of time, but in Mark chapter 1 or chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, they have a friend there that has palsy, and the four people, they carry this man upon a roof and lower him down through the roof in order to see Jesus. Or in Matthew chapter 25, where he talks about the end of time, those on the right, those on the left. I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was visited me, you visited me. I was naked, you clothed me. I was in prison and you visited me. In the battle of sickness. That's our last verse for today. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. So that was my day at the cardiologist. And what I came up with. What I came up with while I was sitting there. We would encourage you today that if you need to respond to the gospel, it might not be you have a physical sickness. But you might have a spiritual sickness at this time. And who wouldn't want their physical sickness to be removed immediately? Oh, if we have the opportunity to do that, we could just go around the room and people could just say, well, this is what I would like. And if this could be done immediately to where I'd be made whole again, that would just be wonderful. Well, we can't do that with a physical sickness. But we can do that with a spiritual sickness this morning. If you're not a part of the Lord's church as of yet, you can come forward this morning, repent of your sins, confess His name, and be baptized. And be a part of the Lord's family immediately. If there's sin in your life that's of a public nature, oh, you want to get rid of a physical sickness immediately. But if it's sin in your life of a public nature, you can have that removed immediately. And God says, I will not remember it anymore. Do you want that this morning? That's God's plan for you. Whatever your need may be, come right now. While together we stand and we sing.